Let's take our Bibles together, the Gospel of John, John chapter 9. We're going verse by verse through this book of the Bible together, and we started last week, and we'll finish this week on this chapter, John chapter 9, a very personal chapter, should be for sinners, all about one man, blind from birth. And this man that was born blind receives his sight from the Lord. And it not only changes his life, but it shakes up a lot of other people and makes a lot of people angry. Isn't it interesting? When Jesus Christ is at work, people not only can find hope and life everlasting, as you just heard the song, but a lot of them get upset. And that's still the case today. If God works in your life, everybody's not going to be happy about it. But I hope you'll let him work in your life. It's a wonderful thing to let Jesus work and do his will in us. In John chapter 9, though, what I'm going to read the last few verses, if you'll just go with me to verse 39, which really end the story. And Jesus Christ is going to make a point, though this one was blind from birth, there were other blind people there, though they could see the green grass and see the blue sky with their physical eyes. They were blind spiritually. There's more than one type of blindness in this world, and Jesus Christ did not just come to heal the physically sick or those that were having some type of infirmity, but he was trying to reach the plagues of the heart. And blindness in the heart of individuals is the worst type of blindness. And Jesus says in John chapter 9 and verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now this is a really good picture of religion. The Pharisees are into an argument here with Jesus Christ. The Pharisees representing all that is religious in this world. And they brought the blind man, or the blind man's been brought to them. You see verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime blind. And then the Bible says that they bring his parents even, and they begin to question, the Pharisees begin to question the parents. And they're upset at his parents. We'll start reading there in verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And so the blindness of their religion, they would not even believe that this man had really been blind. They didn't want to believe the truth that this man was ever blind in the first place. It was some kind of trick that Jesus pulled on them. And so they wouldn't believe the truth on that, so they called the parents, the Bible says. Verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom ye say was born blind? So see, they're even doubting that. Or, you know, you say he's blind. He was born that way. We don't know that. Always questioning instead of believing. Man has a heart that's black and dark and unrighteous. And you can see that in the fact that he always questions the truth. Questions God's truth. He says, how then doth he now see? Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. So this argument between religion or the Pharisees and Jesus Christ is not only extended to the man, because the Pharisees just grill him and question him and over, ask him the same questions over and over to try to intimidate him. And I say that's what religion does a lot of times. It intimidates people. I've seen that firsthand, being a missionary overseas and around the world. A lot of people could believe and know the truth if they weren't intimidated by their religion, thinking that, well, if I don't believe all that my religion was, then I'm afraid. Believe anybody that preaches the truth or believe the Bible if it's contrary to my religion. May I say this? I'm not a very religious person at all. I believe in a person, not in a religion. And I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religion. And, you know, the religion in the Bible is in a bad light. Matter of fact, there's only one time in all the Bible that the word religion is even found in a good light. And you say, well, why are you in church? I'm in church because Jesus saved my soul. That's why I'm in church. I'm in church because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Bible. I love the truth. And he told me to do that, so I'm going to do that. But that has nothing to do with religion per se. A lot of people go to church and they're going to go to hell because religion doesn't save you. Jesus saves you, you see. And so religion's trying to intimidate the blind man that's made whole, trying to intimidate the parents. They're asking him, you know, or asking the parents, how did this happen? Are you sure it happened? And they said, well, we don't really know. They really did know. They were just afraid to answer the question, the Bible said, because religion had intimidated them. The fear that religion puts in people's hearts. I tell you what, I've seen the thoughts roll over in people's minds as I've witnessed to them about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and being born again, and how their religion rolls through their head and they begin to count the cost and they're afraid to go against maybe what mom and dad said or how they were born or how they were brought up, you see. Look, I'm glad I was brought up right, but there came a time in my life I had to look at the Bible and say, what's true? And I had to come to Jesus Christ on my own. Religion has a way of intimidating people, as it's doing here. And matter of fact, they were afraid to say anything because they were going to kick them out of the synagogue. They'd kick them out of their religion if they said Jesus Christ, Jesus was the Christ. Look at chapter 12. That continues throughout the life of Jesus. In other words, the religion said, if you follow him, you can't follow us. If you follow Jesus Christ, then we don't want you in our church. We don't want you because their religion wasn't about Jesus, you see. It was about their own tradition. And the Bible tells us in chapter 12 and verse 42, the Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Now that's something when the important people start believing on Jesus Christ. You see that? But look what it says. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I've seen that. I've seen people trust. I saw Greeks trust Christ that were afraid to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and continue to follow God because they would be disowned by their Greek Orthodox parents and their family members and lose their inheritance. We saw Muslims get saved. We saw a Muslim get saved in Greece, and it was such a blessing to see them stand up and let their parents know on fear of being ostracized for the rest of their life, because religion tries to intimidate and religion tries to put fear in the heart of men. But Jesus doesn't try to do that. Jesus wants to set us free from all the bonds, not just the bonds of our sin, but the bonds of tradition and the bonds of religion. He wants to give us a relationship with him. And I would ask this, you know, why are they so mad? Why are they so angry? I mean, what do they care if this man's got his sight back? You'd think that'd make them happy, wouldn't it? Why would they get so mad they'd want to kick somebody out of their church, out of their synagogue, out of their religion, because he just got his sight? You know, I tell you what, if somebody gets their sight back, you thought everybody would rejoice. Everybody would be glad, man, this guy, hey, I don't know how it happened, but I'm glad you got your sight back, buddy. Way to go. All right. Good deal. But not the religion. Religion's not happy for anybody unless it goes along with their motivation. And if it has something to do with furthering their agenda, they're not interested in rejoicing. They're not interested in people. And that's what I see, not only the fear and intimidation of religion, but the wrath of religion. They're going to kick this man out of the synagogue. Look in chapter 8 again, or chapter 9 with me, please. And the parents are afraid it's going to happen to them. And it does happen to this man because he speaks the truth. You'd be surprised how mad religion will get when you speak the truth and when you stand up for Jesus Christ. The Bible says there, in verse 34, they answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. They said, we don't want you anymore. Get out of here. If you're going to belong to Jesus Christ, if you're going to confess Jesus Christ, if you're going to be so radical about the truth, we don't want you anymore. And they kick him out because they can't handle the truth. You know, a lot of people can't handle the truth. Blind people can't handle the truth because it's the truth that gives sight. These aren't reasonable people. You know, the people that are involved in sin, they're not reasonable people. They're not people that care for others. And by the way, there's a lot of people today that say they care for others. You'll know how much somebody cares for others if you just examine their relationship with the truth. Does the truth make you mad? Does the truth make you mad this morning? Religion has a limited ability, the wrath and limited ability of religion. Religion couldn't help this man. The Pharisees had no power to help this man. The synagogue never gave him what he needed in his life. How pitiful it was that that religion that could never help this one that was blind from birth would get so angry and say, leave. I tell you this morning, religion can't help you. Religion can't change your life. There's not a three-step program or some catechism or some program you can get in to change your life. You need to meet the person of Jesus Christ that lets your eyes be opened through His truth. That's the only way your life can be changed. No hope in religion. Doesn't matter which one it is. We see the fear and intimidation of religion in this story. We see the limited ability and the wrath of religion in this story. But really what we see is the blindness and hypocrisy of religion in this story. And that's what I want to focus my attention on this morning. And it was really encompassing these last three verses. Jesus said in verse 39, He said, for judgment I am come into this world. I wonder how many people know that. I wonder how many people have read that in the Bible. I wonder how many people have heard that from the lips of Jesus Christ. You say, well, Jesus Christ, He's just kind. He's good. He's not going to judge anyone. Oh, every man will be judged by Jesus Christ. All the world's going to stand before the Lord. If you're saved, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. He's going to be your judge. If you're not saved, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the judge of all men. And God hath proved it to the world that that's the man that's going to judge you in that He raised him from the dead, the Bible says. He gave proof. Jesus said, for judgment am I come to this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. In other words, Jesus says, I'm going to make the judgment, I'm going to make the determination if you can see or not. In other words, if Jesus says you're blind, you're blind. If Jesus says you can see, then you can see. Here He gave this physical blind man sight, and He's more than willing to give spiritual blinded eyes sight as well. But Jesus says, I'm the judge of this matter. In other words, your whole life is related to what you do with Jesus and what Jesus does with you. The Pharisees come to Him the next question, the next verse, and they ask Him a question. Are you telling us that we're blind? They're catching on, you see. Are you telling us that we're blind? You see that in verse 40. Some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words, said, are we blind also? And Jesus says an amazing thing. Would you look at verse 41? We're going to make application after we read this. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. If you really knew you were blind, your sin problem would be taken care of. In other words, if you would see your condition like this blind man saw his condition, if you would see your need like this man saw his need, I could help you. But look at it. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. You think that you see. You think that you're not blind. You think you don't have a problem. You think that you don't have an infirmity. And He says, what you really are, you're a blind man walking. and you have such a need, just like this man that was in this chapter that received this miracle, you need a miracle in your life because you're blind. What were they blind to? The hypocrisy and blindness of religion. What were they blind to? I think this morning they were blind to the same thing many people probably right here this morning are blind to. And that is, they're blind to the depth of their own sinfulness. Would you look at our text with me just a moment? Look at verse 24. The Bible says in verse 24, here the Pharisees, they're arguing with the blind man that has got his sight back. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Do you see that? Who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus. They say, you know, don't worry about this Jesus character. Don't follow this Jesus man. He's a sinner. We don't know what happened. This is a miracle. Just give God the praise. But this man Jesus that you think really means the world to you, he's a sinner. You know, that's spoken like a true blind man. Number one, they never saw him commit a sin. They never heard him commit a sin. Matter of fact, in their hypocrisy, they're reviling people in this text. They have foul mouths themselves. You can see that in verse 28. Then they reviled him. That they're not kind, nice, righteous people. And yet in their hypocrisy, they start calling Jesus Christ a sinner. They can't name one. Jesus never thought a wrong thought. He never did a wrong deed. He never spoke a wrong word. He never did anything untoward. He was the clean, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And here this religious crowd says, we know that this man is a sinner. You know nothing of the sort. But I tell you what you are. You're so blind to the fact that you are a sinner. You're so blind you think Jesus is a sinner, but you don't think you're a sinner. I tell you what, you're in pretty bad shape when you see Jesus as a sinner, but you don't see yourself as a sinner. We know that this man is a sinner. No, how about, what do you know about yourself? What do you know about yourself? You know, in those Pharisees in Luke 18, you know, that's that picture Jesus gave us of that Pharisee and that publican in the temple That Pharisee's praying and that publican's praying, but only one of their prayers got through. And you know which prayer got through? The one that could see themselves as a sinner. Are you listening to me now? What is blindness? Blindness is not seeing my own sin. You know, look, a lot of times people, I don't want to look at my sin. I don't want to look at my problem. I don't want to look at the need of my life. I don't have a problem looking at other people's problems or other people's sins or other people's needs. But to look here and look down in my heart and see sin, no, no. And that Pharisee, the Bible said in Luke 18, he prayed thus with himself and he said this, I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men are. Oh, yes, you are. We all put our shoes on the same. We all roll out of bed the same. We got the same sinful minds. We've got the same sinful hearts. We've got the same sinful tongues. We've got the same sinful lives. And a blind man can never see his own sin. The Pharisee says, I'm not as other men are. These Pharisees in John chapter 9, that never, never a miracle happened like this in the history of the world. And Jesus made this one blind from birth to see, and they call him a sinner. And they can't see the own hypocrisy in that. They refuse to accept the fact that they're sinners themselves. Would you look at verse 34? John chapter 9, verse 34. They're blind. Why are they blind? All blind people. None of them can ever see their own sin. Verse 34, John 9, 34. They answered and said unto him, speaking of the blind man again, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You know what they said to this blind man? They said, Jesus, he's a sinner. And then they looked at him and they said, you are altogether born in sin. Well, guess what, sir? You were born in sin too. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, and because of Adam's sin, sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are all born in sin. All you have to do is have a good knowledge of the Old Testament. If they even believe David, if they believe the writings and the Psalms, that in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born a sinner. Can't you see that, Pharisee, that not just this man that was blind was born in sin, but you were born in sin too? No, they can't see that. You know why they can't see that? Because they're religious. And they're so religious that they forgot they were born in sin. They couldn't see it. You may be the most upstanding citizen in 100 miles. You may be a nice person. You may go to church. You may try to be kind to people. I'm telling you what, if you can't see the fact that you were born in sin like all the rest of us, if you can't see the fact of your own sin, you're as blind as a bat and you need Jesus to touch you. I never forget, I've tried to deal with a lot of people in my ministry, in my life. And I've met some people that go like this: well, preacher, I'd come to church, but I'll come when I get things straightened out. I'm too messed up to come to church. I said, you don't understand. You know, all of us are born in sin. All of us are sinners. All of us need Jesus. We don't get our lives together and then get religious. No, we come to Jesus Christ to let Him change us. I wonder, are you blind this morning? Can you see yourself as a sinner? If you do see yourself as a sinner, what are you going to do about that? You going to ignore that? God didn't let sin into heaven. He said even all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What are you going to do about your sin? I tell you what, you'll never do anything about it if you don't see it. You know why most people go through life and they never run to Jesus Christ and they never repent of their sin and they never humble themselves and come to God? Because they never see themselves seriously as a sinful individual. Boy, I'm glad for the day that I saw myself the way I really was. Lost, undone, wicked, sinful, altogether born in sin. I'm guilty. This man is a sinner. That's me. Guilty. I need Jesus. And Jesus says, you Pharisees, you religious people, you're blind because you can't see your own sin. Would you look at Revelation chapter 3? Revelation chapter 3. It's amazing how much in this story in John chapter 9 we see the ignorance of the Pharisees, the blindness of the Pharisees. First they say that this fellow's not of God, and then they turn around and say, as for this fellow, we know not whence he is. Well, I thought you said you did know about him. You're showing your ignorance. First you say you know he's a sinner, and you know he's not of God, and then you say you don't know who he is. You're totally blind at who Jesus is. You're totally blind of your own sinful heart. I wonder this morning, what are we going to do with our sinfulness? Are we blind to it? And the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, here in the church, again, setting is religious, isn't it? Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 17, because thou sayest, this is to the church of the Laodiceans, Revelation 3:17. The Lord says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and watch this phrase, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and what's that word? And blind and naked. Who is blind, preacher? Who is Jesus saying is blind? Well, these religious people. He's saying anybody that does not see their own sinfulness is blind. And then he says anybody that does not see their need is blind. What do you need this morning? You might think you need a raise. You might think you need better health. You might think you need some family problem solved, but you know what you need more than anything in this world? What every human being in this world and every person sitting in this building this morning needs, you need Jesus Christ. You need Him every day of your life. You can't get through without Him. The Bible says that by Him all things consist. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Our lives fall apart without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't make it without Him. And yet some people live their lives thinking that they have need of nothing. I don't need to look in the Bible. I don't need to humble myself before the Christ. I don't need salvation. I don't need a change in my heart. I don't need any cleansing from sin. Blind. Blindness is what comes back from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ about it. Oh, we may look the part, but Jesus said, if you don't see your need, you're blind. If you don't see your sin, you're blind. If you don't see your need, you're blind. Boy, I tell you what, the closer you get to the Lord, the closer, the more things you really learn about your own life and eternity, the more you'll know how much you do need Him. And we live in a day where churches are being forsaken and Bibles are being forsaken and God is being forsaken because humanity does not see the need for God. Jesus says, you're blind. You're blind. Who is really blind? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you a third thing. You know, the Lord Jesus, sometimes when He preached, He got with it. I won't go there, but you can write down Matthew 23. He has a big sermon for the Pharisees, and He basically says two things to them. He says a lot, but He says, number one, you're a hypocrite. He said, but number two, you're blind. I don't know how many times in Matthew 23 He called them hypocrites. And I don't know how many times in Matthew 23 He called them blind. He says, you're blind. You're blind guides. You don't know where you're going, but you're trying to lead everybody else there. If the blind lead the blind, both are going to fall in the ditch. He says to them, you are blind, you are a hypocrite, and I pray this morning that God would help us not be like that crowd, but open our eyes. But if we're going to have sight, we got to understand our sinfulness, because people that don't see their sin are blind. We've got to understand our need, because people that do not see their need are blind. And number three, He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, would you look at it with me please? In verse 14, we'll start reading. He's talking about the nation of Israel, the children of Israel. And He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, but their minds were what? Were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Stop right there just for a minute. That means those Jewish people, when they read the Bible, they can't see. You know what Jesus said about that Old Testament? He says, what's in that Old Testament is about me. Well, why can't people that have given their life to study the Old Testament, which is the Jewish people, why can't they see Jesus if it's about Him? Because they're blind. You know how many people pick up a Bible and they're blind when they read? You say, preacher, I read the Bible. I don't get anything out of it. Well, blind people can't understand what they read. If you're blind, you don't see. You say, well, I can see the words. You can see the words and not see the truth. What's the difference? Look at your text. So when Moses is read, the veil is on their heart. They can't see. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, even though you're blind, God is a powerful God. He can help you to see. He can make you see. Look at it. Nevertheless, when it shall what? Turn to the Lord, the veil shall be what? Taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know what the Bible says? Blind people are people that won't turn to God. If a blind person will turn to God, the Lord will take away that blindness, take away that veil. He'll let them see. Has your heart turned to God? Did your body come to church this morning, or did your heart come to turn to Christ this morning, to turn to God? Only people that see are people that have turned to the Lord, and the blindness is taken away. Oh, God, help us this morning, not just to be in a building, but to join our hearts to God and say, Lord, I'm turning to You. Now notice, turn. You know, God's not going to turn to you. God is not going to turn to us. He already did all He could do. He sent His only begotten Son to bleed and die and suffer on a cross and did more for you than anybody would ever dream of doing for you. He says, I've paid the price. I've made the way. Now you got to turn to Me. Let me ask you a question. Have you turned to God? Have you turned from your sin to Jesus Christ? Or are you holding on to those things that condemn you? Holding on to those things that are ruining you? Holding on to those things that are blinding you? Has your heart ever turned to God? I'm talking about your mind. I'm talking about your heart. Have you ever turned to God from your heart? Blind people, they hear all the facts, but they won't turn to God from their heart. Blind people, they can't see their sin. I wonder this morning, if you took out a pen and a piece of paper, could you write me down about 10 sins going on in you right now? Could you see them? I guarantee you, if God took out a piece of paper on you, He could write down 10 things on you. Right? Can you see that? If I asked you to take out a paper and write down the things that you need, and none of it had to do with anything in this world, it had to do with a spiritual need in your life, could you write that down? Blind people can't see that. And then, if I had you write down the time in your life or in your heart that you've been turning to God, could you tell me when that was? When your heart turned to the Lord? If not, you're blind. You don't have to be that way. Blind people are people that will not turn to God. You're in 2 Corinthians, so would you look at the very next chapter? I'm about finished. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, why are people blind? People are blind because they won't see their sin. People are blind because they won't see their need. People are blind because they won't turn to God. And then people are blind because of 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. People are blind because the God of this world has blinded them. The devil's blinded them. The devil's given them a lie. They believe the lie of the devil instead of believe the truth of the gospel through Jesus Christ. Instead of believing the preaching, instead of believing the truth of the Word of God, instead of believing the Holy Ghost, they believe the lie of the God of this world. It talks to him every day. The Lord's trying to talk to you this morning, but I tell you who else is trying to talk to you every day, and that's the God of this world. Because He wants to keep people in their blindness. Why are people blinded? Because they're listening to the devil. Get another one. I'm about finished. 1 John chapter 2. Why are people blind? How do I know if I'm blind? How do I know if I have a need like this man that was born blind? Oh, we are born spiritually blind. And we need Jesus Christ to touch every one of our hearts. And you're sitting here this morning, and there's no accident that you're here, and Jesus Christ is reaching out to you. And what He's trying to do, He's trying to open your eyes so you'll see your own sin. Open your eyes so you'll see your own need. Open your eyes so you'll turn to God. Open your eyes so you'll quit believing that lie of the God of this world. Then in 1 John, he says in chapter 2, verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. Watch it. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Who's blind, preacher? People that are blind are people that walk in darkness. What is the darkness? In this verse, it's the darkness of the sin of hatred. But there are many sins that are dark. Lustful sins that are dark. Bitter sins that are dark. Proud sins that are dark. And this is what God says. Darkness blinds you. When you walk in sin, it takes away the light. We have a sin-crazy world. We have a sin-craving society. Instead of people craving God, they're craving their sin. And as you walk in the darkness, you're blind. And what a perilous thing it is to be blind. And yet what a great, happy, wonderful thing it is to get your sight. I told you last week, can you imagine this man? when Jesus made him see. He had never seen a bird fly, never seen his own reflection, never seen the face of his mother or his father, never seen the water trickle down the brook, never seen all the colors of the spectrum, never saw the sun shine in all of its glory, never saw a sunset or a sunrise. And I bet the day that he got his sight back, he was just overcome. Now compare that to the one sitting in the darkness. And which one are you? Which one are you? Can you see your sin? Do you need him? Will you turn to him? Will you forget about the God of this world and all his lies? And will you get out of that darkness and come to the light and let God change your life, save your soul, touch your eyes, and make you see? It would be a wonderful day. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? Our heads are bowed and our eyes closed. First, I want to ask a question this morning. If you said, "Preacher, I've seen myself as a sinner before, and I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Not a religion, not something I did in a baptistry, not a piece of communion that I've taken. But "Preacher, I have turned from my heart to the Lord, and I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I know that I'm saved." If you know that as a testimony of that, would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior." God bless you. You can take it down. Now, friend, we didn't do that to embarrass you, but we did that to get you to think about your need. We don't want you leaving here blind. We don't want you leaving here in your sin. We don't want you to go to the darkness. We don't want you to live your life without Jesus. We want you to be saved. I wonder this morning if you said, "Preacher, I need Jesus. I need him to save my soul. I need Jesus Christ to change my life. I know my sin, preacher, and I've never come to Jesus with it. But I want to turn to him from my heart today." Anybody like that this morning, you put your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's the need of my life." Anyone this morning? "Preacher, that's what I need. I need Jesus."